athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Let me set the table for you. Is the NBA draft lottery rigged? We'll discuss. Plus, Jimmy Butler is limited in terms of being able to carry a team, and with Golden State now out of the playoffs, what will the Golden State Warriors do looking forward? Steph Curry certainly is getting up there in age. Do the Golden State Warriors have another run at an NBA title while Curry is there? We'll also discuss. Plus, within that vein, Jonathan Kuminga. Do the Warriors decide to keep him, or does he go? Plus, Julius Randle, let me tell you, he is getting it done for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Welcome to another edition of Box to Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. All of that, plus, we're going to be joined by Florida A&M head baseball coach Jamie Shoup. Jamie Shoup going to join us on the program. The Rattlers currently sit at number two in the SWAC standings. Now, if the Rattlers want to move up, the Rattlers have to sweep the weekend series against Alcorn State and hope that Bethune-Cookman loses two of three in their weekend series. And so we're going to talk about that as SWAC tournament play begins on next week. So we've got plenty to talk about here today on the program. You can participate here on the program. Hit us up via Twitter at Box to Row, or X as it were, at Box to Row, BOXTOROW. Also on my personal X account at DWare1, at DWare1. And of course, we're thankful for all of our outstanding affiliates around the country that carry Box to Row, and those that, of course, listen to us around the country. How about KAZI in Austin, Texas? Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. And, of course, those that listen to us on SiriusXM channels 141 and 84. So, with respect to the draft lottery, and it's interesting because the last game of the season, I was watching intently the Golden State and the LA Clippers game, and the Clippers ended up pulling that game out. But also, I was watching the Wizards and Miami, and I was thinking, you know, the Wizards were down. I think the Wizards were down like 4 points with under 10 seconds remaining, hit a three-pointer to pull to within one. Miami comes down, misses two free throws, and then Bubs Carrington hits a crazy, like, off-balance shot as time expired, and the Wizards won the game. And I'm thinking, and I think I talked about this at the time, I'm thinking, why would the Wizards, I mean, like, if you're an NBA player, if you're any type of competitor, you always want to win. Like, you're not thinking about losing or what can, you know, what can be beneficial for the organization. You're thinking about winning. So I'm not putting this on the players, and I get that. But as the organization, like, you've got to be thinking, we want to lose this game because at the same time, Utah, the Jazz, I think the Jazz had, like, the same record, or the Jazz actually they at the time had the same record. And if the Jazz had lost later on in that day, then both teams would have had the same record. And then I don't know what happened. I think both teams split during the regular season. So I'm not sure what the tiebreaker would have been at that point. But that said, the Wizards ended up had the second worst record, and Utah had the first record. But both of these teams had like a 14% chance of winning the lottery, okay, winning the NBA draft lottery. Well, if you're Utah, and if you're a Utah fan, and if you're a Washington fan, you're not feeling good about this right now at all, because Utah received the number 5 pick and the Washington Wizards received the number 6 pick in this year's NBA draft, when both teams had the best possibility at 14% of winning this. I mean, I'm thinking, at least if you're Utah or even the Wizards, I mean, you're even if you're second or third, that's better. 5-6 when you had the worst and second worst records. And that's, and look, I'm not even mentioning, you know, I'm not even talking about the lead. The lead is that the Mavericks won the NBA draft lottery with a 1.8% chance of winning the NBA draft lottery. Like a 1.8% chance of winning the lottery. And that is what actually happened for the Dallas Mavericks, right? So, like, look, Nico Harrison, the general manager, he's the front face, made the trade. As I talked about it with you before, when this trade happened with Luka to the Lakers and all of the backlash that happened. Like, Nico Harrison may be the face of this trade, but he's not the ultimate decision maker. Now, as I talked about at that time, maybe this is how he felt. He goes to management or ownership, excuse me, goes to ownership and says, okay, this is what I'm thinking. You know, Luka may not be our, I just don't understand how you could look at it that way. But either way, this, the ultimate decision lies with ownership. But I'm going to tell you, Nico Harrison ownership, while you still don't trade a generational player like that, because look, and we don't know, like, maybe it was so bad that the Mavericks thought that they needed to make this deal, even though now you've set the Lakers up for the next 10 years. Because look, maybe in fact Luka acted and would have in the future acted differently with the Dallas Mavericks organization. But he's not going to act like that if there was something awry with the Lakers organization. The Lakers are not playing that, right? Like, and plus, the backlash from the public would be so great. It just would not have flown. But again, Nico Harrison and Mavericks ownership has got to be feeling a whole lot better now. A 1.8% chance to win the lottery, and that's what happens to the Mavericks. They win the lottery. They win the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. So now, I mean, you got to figure it. Maybe, I mean, we hope that Kyrie Irving comes back at some point, right? You look at the front court with Anthony Davis there. Now you add a Cooper Flag as a 3, right? He plays the 3 position, could play the 2, right? Like, this is a dangerous team. Depending upon what happens, Kyrie Irving is the key factor here. If you don't have Kyrie Irving at some point during the season, then this is not going to work for the Mavericks. But if Irving is able to come back and be some semblance of what he was before, and this is an ACL. It's an ACL injury, right? So if he's going to be some semblance of what he was prior to the injury, now you're looking at a situation where the Mavericks could really be a contender. Again, on paper, because look at all of the teams. Like, you've got, I mean, OKC, Denver's going to bounce back, right? You've got Minnesota, who's moved on now to the Western Conference Finals. You've got the Lakers. Like, the West is so stacked. But if that happens with a Cooper Flagg, who, again, it's all about projection. Like, there's no reason for me to think, and I've had a chance to see Cooper Flagg play twice in person. There's no reason for me to believe that Cooper Flagg is not going to have an immediate impact for the Mavericks and on the NBA. Coupled with everything else that the Mavericks have, right? Because it took some time. It was a mesh, you know, the Mavericks didn't really have a chance to mesh. AD was hurt. And of course, a lot of this depends on AD and his health, because that has been in question the last 3 or 4 years. If he can be healthy, now you're talking about perhaps a Mavericks team that can contend. But think about that, a 1.8% chance. That's not even to mention a team like New Orleans, who had like a 12.5%. Like, you're talking about the three worst teams in the league being Utah, the Wizards, and New Orleans, and neither three of those teams, it was so bad, right, that New Orleans is the number 17, right? So back to my original question. Is the NBA draft lottery rigged? It's not rigged, but man, like, they tried to improve upon it to prevent tanking. But the problem is now teams that really need to be, and again, some of it's a crapshoot. Like, I think, you know, Cooper Flagg is a surefire hit. Whoever else, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, you've had guys that have not necessarily been guys that were, guys that we thought would be great players and turned out to be. SGA, one of those guys. Anthony Edwards, one of those guys. But so it's about doing your due diligence and your research to see if, in fact, guys, you know, you could get a guy at a number 5, a number 6, a number 7 that turns out to be a franchise-changing player. But, man, boy, I tell you what, I feel bad for Utah, the Wizards, and also New Orleans. You've got it locked to Box to Row and Box to Row Radio. I am your host, Donald Ware. Still to come here on the program, Jamie Shoup, the head baseball coach at Florida A&M. But we've got more NBA and NFL talk still to come. Keep it locked.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Greensboro this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 20 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 11,000 athletes and 600 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Lowe's Foods, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now, to learn more.
800-245-3052. 800-245-3052. 800-245-3052. That's 800-245-3052.
The Body Armor State Games are coming this June to Greensboro. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Athletes of all ages and skills can register now at BodyArmorStateGames.org. Let the Body Armor State Games begin.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
Row.
To Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Kick that beat in, Red. Oh, yeah. We gonna get busy one time for the homies out there in Compton to this slow, slow, slow beat. Yo, we got my man.
Still to come here on Box to Row, Florida A&M head baseball coach Jamie Shoup. Plus, Jimmy Butler limited when he has to be the leader of the team. We'll talk more about that. Julius Randle gets loose for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Will the Golden State Warriors keep Jonathan Kuminga? And what do the Warriors need to do to continue or to be contenders next year as Steph Curry is 37 years old? Is winding his career down. We're going to talk about that. Plus, some of the highlights from the NFL schedule that was released on Wednesday. Got to say congratulations to the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes took care of the Washington Capitals 4-1. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, look, it's a situation. Grew up in the Washington area, Silver Spring, Maryland, big shots out by way of Hyattsville, Maryland, Lewisdale, to be exact, and grew up a huge Capitals fan. Been here in Raleigh since 2001, really have watched the Hurricanes, was here when the Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup in 2006, and it hadn't been a good time for the Hurricanes basically since 2006, I think maybe the year after 2007, the Hurricanes made the playoffs, and it was 10 or 11 years that the Hurricanes did not even make the playoffs. 2018, enter Rod Brind'Amour, one of the component, the keys to that Hurricane Stanley Cup in 2006. And by the way, the Hurricanes went to the Stanley Cup in 2002 as well. But he has really turned the Hurricanes around. I think this is the second time in his tenure that the Hurricanes are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe it's the second time. And so, look, he's done a tremendous job. Boy, the Hurricanes have a really, really good team. Big win. I mean, a big-time goal by Andrei Shevchenkov with, it was like 1:59 remaining, less than 2 minutes remaining in that game where it was a tie game. 2-1, the Hurricanes took the lead on that goal and then scored a empty net goal to win the game and close out the series 3-1. But boy, I mean, if you're the Capitals, I mean, yes, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup into the same year that Rod Brind'Amour was hired by the Hurricanes is the same year that the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, 2018, or the Capitals won the Stanley Cup the 2017-2018 season, and then Rod Brind'Amour was hired in 2018 to begin the 2018-2019 season. And I stand corrected, this will be the third time that the Hurricanes have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But look, if you're the Capitals, I mean, a historic season for the Great Eight, and to not win the Stanley Cup, I mean, it is a disappointment in of itself, but not even to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals or even to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think is a bigger disappointment. And look, the Capitals have had some really good teams with Alex Ovechkin. This is I think, is either 20th or 21st season with the Capitals. They've had some really good teams. And they've had some teams that probably should have won the Stanley Cup, at least made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And that hasn't happened. Like, the Capitals have underachieved many years with Alex Ovechkin there. Many years. Now, winning that Stanley Cup, I'm not even sure if that 2018 Stanley Cup, if the Capitals were the favorites. But, I mean, it's been, you know, 2, 3, 4 times at least during the era of Ovechkin that the Capitals have been favored to either win the Stanley Cup or come out of the East and have not gotten it done. And this is one of those years. Like, so going back to the drawing board again, I guess for the Capitals, but how many more years does Ovechkin have left? Certainly he's going to end his career as a Capital. I mean, I don't know that we saw, and by the way, I mean, he only had one goal in the five games. I don't know necessarily because Ovechkin is 40 or in his 40s, and it's different, obviously, in hockey than it is in any other sport that you can still play into your 40s and play at a high level. I mean, he's not the same player he was when he was younger, but I mean, it's not like we saw where his skills were diminishing this past year. But how many more cracks at the apple do the Washington Capitals have? And so, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward. But congratulations, big time win for the Hurricanes, and a disappointment, really, for the Hurricanes. All right, let's switch gears and talk some NBA. So you've got a great series. We've got a Game 7, and that's a beautiful thing between the Nuggets and OKC. It's been probably the least favorite series for me of all of the series that we've even seen. Well, really in the second round, I would kind of put it like that. But look, it's a really good series. We're tied at 3. We've got Game 7 is going to be in OKC on Sunday. And look, I mean, give Denver a lot of credit, because going back to around the All-Star break, and I looked at this Denver Nuggets roster, the Western Conference standings, really. And at one time, Denver was like second, and then next thing you look, they dropped to 8. And I just was not a believer in the Denver Nuggets in terms of being contenders. But the Nuggets have shown, I mean, because look, this is a team that's only two. I mean, look, Mike Malone fired, 3 games left in the season. This was a Nuggets team that pretty much, with the exception of not having KCP and Jeff Green, but you add Westbrook into the mix this year. But this is a Denver Nuggets team only 2 years removed from winning the NBA championship, and really, to me, underachieved last season and was underachieving in some respects in this season. Exit, Mike Malone fired. But now we're seeing, I mean, look, that was a tough series against the Clippers that went 7 games, and the Nuggets ended up getting it done, right? And to be able to win Game 6, of course, it was in Denver. So you had to know that the Nuggets were going to come out, were going to play well, were going to be fired up behind their crowd. But now you've got Game 7 in OKC, where you got to figure OKC's going to bounce back. And I think, to me, I mean, we can break this series down a lot, but I think 2 keys that are easy to look at. If Jamal Murray plays well and he's on, then Denver wins. And that's been the case in the 3 games that Denver has won. And, of course, in the latest game on Thursday, Jamal Murray went off. Because we know what Joker is. Like, Joker's going to be consistent. He's just he's he's had some games where he hasn't shot well necessarily in a couple of the games in this series. But for the most part, he's consistent. He may not be giving you the points, but he's going to give you the rebounds. He's going to give you the assists. He's just going to do all of those different things. He's just the most consistent, really probably the most consistent player we have in the league. But Jamal Murray is that X factor. And you have to have some of the other players step up. We'll see what happens with Aaron Gordon and, you know, sort of his injury as well, and how effective he may or may not be in Game 7. But, Denver's just so talented with the roster. And OKC is as well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about OKC momentarily. But you look at this Denver roster, and it's really, as Jamal Murray goes, so go the Denver Nuggets. So if Murray's on, the Nuggets have a chance. If Murray's on, the Nuggets have a chance. Meanwhile, I look on the OKC side. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you talk about a model of consistency. I mean, he is as consistent as Joker is, as consistent. Another 30-point performance. It's almost like a ho-hum type of thing. The problem is he didn't get any help. And the main person outside of, obviously, SGA for the Nuggets, Jalen Williams has to come play. Like, 6 points is not going to get it done. He's got to come play. This is a talented OKC team. And if he doesn't play well, it's not going to bode well at all for the Thunder. So he's going to have to come and play well. That's sort of the surface deal. That's sort of the easy part of this. Look, they're, you know, OKC's going to be at home. I think that's going to help. It's a young team, whereas Denver is more of an experienced team. It's been around the block, has won an NBA championship. In terms of philosophy, I don't think that the philosophy and coaching is necessarily that much different. So, you know, but I think in this one, the youth and also the fact that OKC is home is going to enable OKC to prevail. This has been a great series. Look, Denver stole the first game in this series. OKC comes back. It's 1-1. Now you know OKC has to go on the road now and steal a game back. Denver won the game three. OKC comes back, wins game four. Now it's 2-2. But also, right, OKC comes back, wins game five at home. Denver comes back, wins game six at home. And now I think the home trend continues as we've seen it the last two games. And I think OKC, with its youth being at home, Williams is going to step up. And I think OKC wins this series. Your thoughts, hit us up via X at Box to Row, BoxToRow, or on my personal X account at DWare1, at DWare1. Still to come here on Box to Row, some Golden State Warriors talk. What do the Golden State Warriors look like moving forward? Is Jonathan Kuminga back next year? And some NFL schedule talk. Up next here on Box to Row, Florida A&M head baseball coach Jamie Shoup. Keep it locked.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Hey, Patrick, right here. This being your fifth Super Bowl, what do you remember most about this whole process with respect to the first Super Bowl? And when I say the whole process, I mean the preparation, not only for the game, but the media and all of that, as opposed to now. How do you kind of compare that? Is it still kind of fun for you?
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, every Super Bowl is its own experience. But I think more than anything, it's just preparing because you know the process. You know what it takes throughout the week. And it gives you more experience and more calm where you're not worried and you just continue to work to be the best version of yourself you can be and learn from your previous Super Bowls, and hopefully you can play even better in the game when you get out there on Sunday.
Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, you're old school. So you've instituted this deal where the players are not allowed to have cell phones in the locker room.
Well, you got a young group and you're just trying to get some cohesiveness going on. What does goes on the inside of that clubhouse is our sanctuary. I really don't want to have a whole lot to say about that because it's out there and it's out there improperly. I'm going to leave that at that. I don't want to talk about that.
I got you. But I like it. I like it, Ron. I like it.
I appreciate that. That's because you have a sane mind.
Box to Row live on Radio Row. We're here at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got a very special guest, right? He was coming over here to talk to us, right? Everybody wanted a piece of him. And now we're able to talk with him. He is the one and only Drew Brees.
Just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying Media Row. Enjoying the city.
Yeah.
You having a good time?
I'm having a great time. 15 years ago today, the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Man, that was a pretty epic time. It was a pretty special time. You know, that was an incredible journey that 2009 season. Just the whole experience was unbelievable. It was surreal. And the city deserved it. The fan base deserved it. Not a dry eye in the house. It was unbelievable.
Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach at Houston.
Being raised in Pembroke and the Lumbee Nation was always a badge of honor. But getting the eagle feather is a sign of achievement and respect, and I think how you treat other people. Never forgetting where you came from. I grew up in a time when there was segregation. My dad taught and coached in an all-Indian conference. I mean, coming from that area, I learned a lot of life lessons, but getting the eagle feather is a tremendous honor. But you know right away, it's something you share with a lot of other people.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, and it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
There's not many of us in baseball. To do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity, hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent, and often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light, and people want to feel like they want to be here, and so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying, so be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully, like, build this thing bigger.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop. And it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
Kevin Hart joins us here.
Right now, I'm on cloud nine. This is the time where I'm in demand, so you make the best of it. You pick great projects, you get behind them, and you put them out. And the goal is to keep them coming. So that's making sure that you're in control of your destiny. And right now, I am.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Let's continue here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman. As a matter of fact, he's in his 12th season as the head baseball coach at Florida A&M. And let me tell you, the Rattlers right now, if the SWAC tournament were to start today, the Rattlers would be the number 2 seed. Has an opportunity. A couple of things have to happen, but the Rattlers do have an opportunity to get the number 1 seed, but of course some things have to happen with Bethune-Cookman. As a matter of fact, Florida A&M is going to take on Alcorn State. Jamie Shoup in his 12th season as the head baseball coach at Florida A&M joining us here. And by the way, he's won 3 tournament championships as the head coach at Florida A&M. He joins us here on the program. Coach Shoup, welcome back to the program.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So that means we've been doing this, Coach Shoup, a long time. It seems like, anyway, 12 seasons. Does it seem like it's been 12 seasons at FAMU?
You know, it's kind of flown by, but it's been good to be associated with college baseball and these, you know, the opportunity to work with young men for my entire career. You know, I had 21 years as an assistant coach at Florida State before coming over to FAMU, and as you said, been there the last 12. So the 12 has flown by a little bit. You know, hoping to get 3 or 4 more years in before I call it quits. This year in particular has been a really exciting year for me and for us as a coaching staff. Expectations weren't real high going into this season. We were pretty much in a rebuilding mode. I've been very impressed by the way my kids have approached it this season. It wasn't that we were young. We were inexperienced coming into this season. So I kind of call this season a program season. And what I meant by that was, you know, we weren't young, but yet we were inexperienced. So the kids that had sit back, you know, for a couple of years and watched older guys play in front of them, they had gained some experience, not a lot, but some, and they had learned through our program what it takes to be successful. And, you know, we've been pretty, the last 2 years, I thought we were pretty dynamic as a team. Best record in the SWAC last year, and then the year before winning the SWAC tournament. And we had a big turnover. We lost six of our top seven hitters. So, again, we didn't replace it with first-year players, but we replaced it with second- or third-year pro players that hadn't played a lot. So that's when you know if you're doing things the right way within your program, if your system is working. Because, you know, I call them program guys. They're guys that have been in our program for a few years but just didn't have that much baseball at the college level under the belt. So been very pleased with what we've been able to accomplish. I thought, you know, we've overachieved a little bit, you know, in my opinion. But, you know, I don't say that to sell my club short. I just say it because they've exceeded my expectations a little bit. To go through the SWAC play and be 21-6 at this point in the season with, you know, 1 weekend of regular season left, doing that with, we had a pitcher that was a preseason All-American, and that doesn't happen very often in the SWAC. I don't know if it's ever happened at FAMU. But we had a pitcher, Caleb Granger, who was the pitcher of the year last year in the SWAC, came back this year and was just dominating. And after the second weekend of SWAC play, he went down to an elbow injury. Now, he's had surgery since, and he'll be back next year. But that left 8 remaining weeks of the schedule that we had to play in conference play without our number one starter, who, again, was a guy that you could, you know, you knew you were going to have a chance to win no matter who you were playing with Granger on the hill. So that even made what we've done so far this season more impressive. And we were talking about it as a coaching staff this morning. We've lost 6 games in conference play this year. 5 of them were a 5-game losing streak, where you had a chance for it to settle into our guys and hit our guys. The fact that we, you know, we just lost 5 in a row. And what do my guys do? They turn around and win 8 in a row after that. So we're in the middle of an 8-game win streak right now. And we hope to continue to ride that success through the last weekend of SWAC play against Alcorn State and take that into the tournament.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because you mentioned, you know, only 6 losses. And I mean, further, with respect to that, you've only lost 1 series, and that was to Bethune-Cookman. But can you speak to maybe how – because it seemed like you struggled maybe a little bit early on, then you kind of got in the SWAC play, caught your mojo a little bit, and now you're rolling, to your point of 1-8 straight games?
Well, if you look at our schedule, we struggle every year, first part of the season, because we play such a tough schedule. 2 or 3 years ago, I think our out-of-conference schedule was ranked 5th toughest in college baseball. You know, we play those games with the understanding that if we win them, we win them. If we don't, it's okay, because it prepares us for SWAC play. In that, once we go through and play Florida, and we play Central Florida, and we play Mercer, and we play some of those mid-majors like University of North Florida and High Point that we played this year, who would, at the time we played them and beat them, they were leading the country in home runs. When you play that type of preseason or before conference schedule, when you get to conference play, there's nothing you're going to see in conference play that you haven't already seen. I mean, you know, 92, 94 may look hard when you see it against a SWAC pitcher, but not if you've already seen 96, 99 off of SEC pitching or some of these mid-major programs that we play in the state of Florida. So it prepares us. We don't do it for win losses. We don't do it to try to get to, you know, a certain amount of W's. We do it to prepare for SWAC play, because doesn't matter in our conference how many wins you get. What matters is how you play at the end of the season in your conference play to get a chance to play in the NCAA regional. So the only way we're getting there's no at-large bids in the SWAC. The only way we're getting there is to win the tournament. And the best way to prepare to win the tournament is to make sure you have a good season in SWAC play to, you know, position yourself in terms of seeding to you know, have a little bit easier schedule, a little bit easier path to get to that NCAA regional tournament, basically winning a SWAC championship.
Jamie Shoup, he's the head baseball coach at Florida A&M. He joins us here on Box to Row. He's in his 12th season as Florida A&M on the road this weekend, taking on Alcorn State. The Rattlers, of course, sit in second place right now in the SWAC, with an opportunity perhaps for first place. Let me talk personnel. Brody Popple, yeah. I mean, look, yeah. The guy has 11 home runs. He's slugging .614 for you. He's got 6 triples. Like, that's a lot of triples. Talk about, I mean, he's batting .332. You know, just talk about what he's meant to this team.
Yeah, he also has close to double digit home runs, 9 or 10 home runs as well. He's a catcher. He's an athletic catcher. We've had several scouts come in to look at him, and I kind of give anytime a scout's coming to look at a player, I try to give them a major league comp comparison. And his is Jeff Mathis, who played with the Angels for years and also played in the Braves organization. And I know Jeff Mathis well because, you know, I signed him to come to Florida State a long time ago when I worked at Florida State as a recruiting coordinator. Very similar in terms of athleticism. Catcher that can hit six triples or how many triples you said he had, steal some bases. He's also one of our better outfielders. And, you know, when he doesn't catch, when he's not behind the plate, he sometimes is in the outfield playing as well, just to give his legs a little bit of a rest. So he's a great player. You know, he's one. I mentioned that we lost six of our top seven hitters from last year's team. Brody's the only hitter coming back from that team that really put up some numbers last year as well. So a lot of scouts have been in to see him, a couple of cross checkers. He's going to be in professional baseball at some point. So just hoping he can continue to stay hot, you know, be consistent. That's the key this time of the year for anybody or any club. If you're going to win a SWAC championship, you got to start looking toward consistency. You know, it doesn't matter what you did early part of the season or throughout the SWAC play. It matters who can get hot and who can be consistent during this tournament that we got coming up. So looking forward to this last weekend of the season against Alcorn and then headed to Birmingham and hopefully have a good showing in the SWAC tournament.
Yeah, and to your point, Brody Popples is tied for ninth in all of Division One with, in fact, six triples. You mentioned Caleb Granger and he being your ace and All-American coming in. You lost him. But, I mean, if I look at Garrett Workman, I look at Carson Kelly, I mean, in terms of a record, 11-5 between them. Speak to how – excuse me, I'm sorry, 13-5 between them. Speak to how they've pitched for you so far this year.
Yeah, Workman has been a pleasant surprise. Not so much in the surprise in whether you know, we thought coming in that he'd be a good pitcher or not. We knew he was going to be a good pitcher. But having to step in that Friday night role, that opening of a series role, as a freshman, just coming out of high school. This time last year, he was pitching in the state tournament in high school. So to have a freshman come in and pitch as well as he has pitched, especially with, you know, Granger going down to injury, that's been a pleasant surprise. And it's kind of, you know, that's kind of salvaged our season a little bit. And you know, him and you also mentioned Carson Kelly, Carson Kelly is not even starting this year. He was our number two pitcher in our rotation last year. But being a left-hander with a good pickoff move and a kind of a low three-quarter slot, we decided to put him in relief this year so that he would get more times on the mound. And he's answered that call as well. He's thrown well in relief. I think that's where he's more suited if he gets a chance to play professional baseball. That would be out of the bullpen. So we kind of made that move since last year, and it's paid dividends as well. Both those guys are left-handed pitchers. Both of them have had good season. And again, our hope is they continue to do that as we get ready for the SWAC tournament.
Jamie Shoup, again, he's the head baseball coach at Florida A&M. He joins us here on the program, not overlooking Alcorn State. But I wonder, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and I don't know if it was like this in the ACC for all of the years that you were at Florida State, but I mean, I've been following the SWAC baseball coming up on 20 years now, and it seems like the team that has the best record or the team that's supposed to win the SWAC tournament championship never does. To your point, last year, like, you had the best record and you didn't win it, but going back a couple of years ago in 23, maybe not as great a record, yeah, but you won it. Like, have you, is that, did that happen with you in the ACC? And it just seems like, you know, the SWAC tournament is so unpredictable.
Well, in the ACC, you're going to have five or six teams that you know, that get at-large bids to the NCAA regional tournament. So the tournament, the ACC tournament, doesn't have as much emphasis on coaching as it does at the SWAC because, as I said, we're not getting any at-large bids. So there's only one team that's going. I don't like the format of a tournament. I've mentioned that to some coaches. I don't know if it'll ever change. But I don't know, you know, really the tournament, it just allows for the team that's hot that weekend to win the tournament and go on and represent the SWAC. I'd rather see a different format where the best team or the best team has the better chance, you know, to win the tournament. There's some different formulas out there for bracket play that we could go to that I think would put the better team in a more advantageous position to win it. And that's a long conversation to have, and it'll probably never change. But you're very right in what you said. I thought we were the best team in the SWAC last year. We didn't even get to the championship game. Case in point about that is, I don't know how many years ago it was, but Jackson State was undefeated in SWAC play. I think at that time they played 24 regular season games. They were 24-0 or 21-0 in regular season play, got to the tournament, were undefeated in their bracket, and then they played, I think it was Southern, in a one-game winner-take-all, and Southern wins the game. And Southern goes and represents the SWAC in NCAA regional play. So that's what I'm talking about. It's just, it's so difficult to win a tournament. I feel like last year, I thought we accomplished great things last season, but there was no reward for our young men because we got a little flat in the tournament, didn't play particularly well in that one weekend, and didn't play as the best team in the league. Same happened to Jackson State however many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when they were 21-0, had a perfect regular season record and didn't win the SWAC. So I'd like to see another format, but that's, you know, the format we have is what we have. So, you know, we just got to make sure our guys understand our season's either over or we continue to play in an NCAA regional. Very proud of the fact that this program and, you know, the 12 years we've been together has been to 3 NCAA regional tournaments. They had never been before we took over this coaching staff, this program. So take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, what we try to teach as coaches is make sure these young men have an opportunity of a lifetime. And that's to, you know, play in an NCAA regional tournament. Mm.
Jamie Shoup began in his 12th season as the head baseball coach at Florida A&M. The Rattlers are on the road at Old Corn State this weekend and looking to next week's SWAC tournament. Coach Shoup, always appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Rattlers.
We greatly appreciate, man, you caught covering SWAC baseball and the notoriety that brings us. Looking forward to the tournament. Looking forward to seeing how well we compete here at the end.
Appreciate it, Coach Shoup. More NBA and NFL talk on the way.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Greensboro this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 20 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 11,000 athletes and 600 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Lowe's Foods, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Florida A&M head baseball coach Jamie Shoup joined us in the last segment. If you missed any part of that conversation, you can visit our website, boxtorow.com, to check out that conversation or any of our conversations or shows over the last several years, as a matter of fact. And I want to talk about the Golden State Warriors, Jimmy Butler, all of that, Jonathan Kuminga, etc., moving forward. But a couple of highlights, because the NFL schedule was released on Wednesday. And I got to be honest with you, like, I was excited once the NFL draft ended and they announced that the NFL schedules were going to be released on May the 14th. I was really excited about it and totally forgot, because we had a heck of a game on Wednesday between the Knicks and the Celtics that took place. So, you know, the NBA still in full swing, so my mind wasn't on the NFL. So I actually missed the announcement, but caught some of the highlights. And it's interesting. NFL, more international expansion. And I think what's interesting is the NFL. When we looked at the NBA and international expansion, when you looked at the NBA and international expansion, which goes well beyond many, many more years beyond what the NFL has really done, even though NFL did have NFL Europe, but that really didn't take off like the NBA in terms of its expansion globally, right? Like NFL Europe was NFL Europe, whereas the NBA expansion, the continent of Africa, China, all of just different places. And now the NBA is a global game. The better players in the NBA, or some of the better players in the NBA, are international players. Joker, SGA, the list goes on and on, right? But the NFL is not looking necessarily to expand globally from a perspective of bringing players in, but looking to bring its brand, whereas that was the NBA's model. Because if you look at the NBA and you look at the regular season, like, it's not like the NBA is going to international markets playing its games a lot. And that's exactly what the NFL is doing from a game perspective. When you look on the flip side of that in terms of recruitment, the NBA is doing that in terms of the expansion, whereas the NFL, not so much. But it's getting its product out there because there is, while there may not be a level or an appetite, if you will, from an international perspective, because we've got to remember the biggest game in the world is soccer. And you know, most countries are really into soccer. You don't see as many international players in the NFL, but the product is international, or countries are starving for the NFL product, because we see the product expanding, and we see that these games are sold out, whether they're in England or going to be in Spain this year, or whatever the case may be. And so the NFL is expanding from that standpoint. So that was one of the big takeaways that I had in terms of more games internationally in the NFL. We're going to kick the NFL season off with the Eagles and the Cowboys. I think it's appropriate. You generally want to kick the season off with the Super Bowl champs, and then why not kick the season off with what is considered America's team, even though it's been really a sort of a disaster in particular last year, but that's a good way. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be particularly good this year, but it is an NFC East battle, so that's going to be exciting. We've got the Super Bowl rematch in week two, right, between the Eagles and Kansas City. You've got the triple header, and I think appropriately, I love that the fact that we're going to have the Packers and the Lions, an NFC North battle on Thanksgiving. But what I also, and I'm excited about personally, is the triple header on Christmas Day. And my wife and I, we're season ticket holders of the Commanders. So we'll be in the DMV. We'll be in Washington on Christmas watching the Commanders take on the Cowboys on Christmas. That's going to be the exciting. It's the early game. And then also on that day, you're going to have the Lions at Minnesota, and then the Broncos taking on Kansas City. So you have these matchups on Christmas that and by the way, LeBron said it, if you saw this after the Lakers, I forgot who the Lakers beat on Christmas this past Christmas, but he said the NBA is, Christmas belongs to the NBA, which, yeah, but yes, but the NFL, really all seasons belong to the NFL. So if the NFL wants Christmas, the NFL is going to have Christmas. But it's still, I mean, I get the sentiment with what LeBron was saying. The numbers are going to be, I mean, the numbers for NFL games on Christmas way more than the NBA. I just think, you know, you're going to have a lot of interest for the NBA on Christmas than you may have at any other time prior to Christmas. Because the thing about the NBA and what I've seen with the NBA over the last several years is, remember, I mean, even if you look at maybe going back 5 to 7 years ago, I mean, you didn't see hardly any games on ABC. You know, you had TNT, which that contract goes away after the playoffs this year. You had those games, but it wasn't a lot of interest in the NBA per se until Christmas time. But that certainly has changed, certainly with the TV packages. And now NBC is going to be involved with the NBA. They're going to have some streaming. So I think not Netflix, but it's Prime, I think, is going to be involved with the NBA also as well. So I think that's an interesting dynamic. But some good highlights from the NFL schedule that was released on Wednesday. Now, let's talk Golden State Warriors moving forward. What is going to happen to Golden State moving forward. Steph Curry, 37 years old. Jimmy Butler, this is how I view Jimmy Butler. And I talked about this last week with respect to Jimmy Butler. He's not a high volume shooter, as I said last week. So, and I realized he had an illness. But look, he was only 4-11 in the closeout game, right? In the game previous to that, 2 days prior to that, he was only 5-9 from the field. And then, of course, he went off on May 10th, being 12-26 from the field. He had 33 points. And I realized some of that may have been to the illness. You got to factor that in. But I think if you're on the court, you know, people have an expectation of you to play at your best regardless of injury, right? Fair or unfair. But the numbers speak to, even if he may have been under the weather, the numbers, 11 shots, only 9 shots, speak to where Jimmy Butler has been throughout the course of his career. Now, he averages 11 shots in the regular season, 15 in the playoffs. But Golden State needed Jimmy Butler to be Batman, and he was not Batman. Jimmy Butler, I look at it from this vantage point. Jimmy Butler was Batman in Miami because that is what was needed. He became Robin when he got to the Warriors, but when the Warriors needed him to be Batman, he was not Batman. So, and particularly now, because he's 35, he's going to be 36 next year. So you're bringing him back, big contract, Draymond Green. So your core, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Jimmy Butler, your core. That's not enough to win an NBA title. The Warriors didn't have enough to win an NBA title. And I even talked about this a couple of months ago. I'm like, if Jonathan Kuminga can be that guy for you, and he could average 25 points a game, which during a stretch last year in March, he averaged right around 25 points per game, so we know he's capable. He's got at least four 30-point performances in his career. If you can score 30 points in an NBA game, you can play. I always give this example about Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma had a couple of 30-point games early in his career, which to me, the Lakers saw he could play. That's why the Lakers did not trade him initially or make him available as part of that trade to acquire Anthony Davis. He ended up winning, and it wasn't a great part of the Lakers winning a championship, but he was a nice piece towards that championship, did well with the Wizards. And I think, you know, depending upon what Milwaukee's got its own question marks with Giannis and all of that, but he's a legitimate scorer. You know, he's a legitimate 2010 guy in this league, can be a nice piece for someone. But back to Jonathan Kuminga. What do you do with Jonathan Kuminga? Like, he's capable, but he's inconsistent. Part of it, I think, is that because of he's inconsistent, Steve Kerr doesn't play him as much as he probably should be playing him. The skill set is there. Kuminga is an unrestricted free agent. Does Kuminga, let's even say Kuminga gives you 25, does that put you over the top with the core that you have coming back? Probably not. If it were me, I think the perfect solution moving forward for Golden State, and we can talk about Giannis, but a trade would have to be involved in that because Giannis is still under contract. Kevin Durant is an unrestricted free agent. And to me, I still believe that KD and the Warriors in a way needed each other after the 2015 season. They need each other for sure now. Now, hear all this talk about Golden State needs size and all of those kind of things. Yes, size will help. You can get a big man. But if you put KD on that team with that core, that instantly makes Golden State contenders. Now, if Golden State was to get Giannis, that solves two problems. You talk about a big man, that solves sort of your big man problem, but then also, and Giannis is younger than KD. He's going to have some more time, a dominant force But the way that the Warriors are currently constructed is just not enough. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Jamie Shoup, the head baseball coach at Florida A&M, for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, visit our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.